The glory that fell. Oh. great song, isn't it? It's a great prayer. Come on. I think that if we, let's bring up that scripture. I think that if we do this scripture right here, we'll see God's glory. Let's pray this way, that in this Christmas season, that our light would so shine before men that they would see our good works and they would glorify God. Amen? And they would see that. They would see the reality that Christmas is not a season for us, it's a life. Amen? Come on, let's pray this way this morning. Father, we are trusting you. God, we are asking for revival. We've been praying for revival. God, this church has been asking for revival night after night after night after night for months now, Lord, 8 times a week. But Lord, we ask you right now that you'd help us to make sure that we represent you well so that people see the reality of Jesus, God, not as an advertisement, but by the living expression of our lives. We trust you for this, Father God. May we be your advertisement. We pray this humbly through the authority of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship band. I appreciate your skilled worship leading. Hallelujah. Great to see. Yeah, you want to do that? Do that. I mean, every Sunday morning, they're here at 8:30. And then on every Wednesday night, they're here at 6. And they're making sure that we are ready to go. Hallelujah. We're so grateful for them and all that they do for us. Hallelujah. If you're visiting with us, or if you're online joining us, maybe for the first or second, third, fourth, whatever time it might be, I'm Pastor Brad. It's great to have all of you here. We would love to connect with you. We don't believe that it's a happen chance or circumstance. We believe that God brought you to connect with us. And a way to help further that connection and that engagement, just text the word welcome to the number on the screen. That's a great way to do that. A little link comes back to you, and you can complete that, and that completes the process. That helps us, okay? If you prefer to do it paper, you can do that out at the information center, and then pick up the free gift that's there as well. Hallelujah. Amen. How's everybody doing? Is everybody well?
Yes.
Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
Yeah. We pray around here. We pray that God would just protect this church and keep all of us well. Aren't you grateful for praying people? Just night after night they're doing this. Night after night. Hallelujah. Just a moment, we're going to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. But this, what I'm about to show you is, and Robert cut it down for us, is a video that was shot last week in Silverdale, Washington. You say, why are you showing that to us? Well, here's the reason why. You may wonder why, you know, when I give my tithes and offerings, what does the church do with it besides some of the obvious things? For several years, this church had an extension campus in Silverdale, Washington. And I would fly back and forth there. This campus is closed now to a variety of reasons. But the people that were at that campus, I met with the pastor of Faith Fellowship in Silverdale, and I asked him if he would care for them. And they joined that church and become part, and they become an incredible asset to that church in Silverdale, Washington. So Seaport has really blessed them. Well, there was a young military couple that was part of Seaport Kitsap that encountered a horrific thing in their marriage. And I dealt with it firsthand when I was there, firsthand. I'd fly back and forth, and one of the things I would do is I would work with this couple. And it did not look good. But here's the rest of the story. Let's watch. This is about 5 minutes. Let's watch.
So in 2015, like we were saying, we were married from 2013 to 15, and we kind of started focusing on our own occupations and not having that much time. You know, if anyone has had long distance, you'll notice that if you don't put God first in your life, especially in your marriage, you tend to get, you know, selfish. The flesh kicks in and you start focusing on your work and on yourself, and that is what happened. And I lost focus, not only on my relationship with God, but also on my marriage. And I ended up breaking, you know, the most sacred vow in my marriage and having an affair that year.
Yeah. Man, I remember, you know, I remember talking to you and you talked about the shame. It was like, I didn't want to talk to my family. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to church.
We got, you know, God brought us back together in 2016
and there was like 8 months of that. That was, I remember Jess told me, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 8 months of separation, 10 months physical, because in the middle of all this, he's in a deployment, 7 month deployment. So that was great.
Yeah.
So there was that struggle, but it was about a year and a half after we got back together. We did some therapy, and it wasn't a year and a half until Chris decided to come back to church again. So,
sentence, like, what would you say brought your marriage back together and brought the two of you together again? Like, if just in like a sentence, if, I don't know if you can succinctly say that or not. That's, I know that's a lot to ask, but like, what
God.
Would you say?
Absolutely. One word, God. I mean, me the whole time, I was praying, you know, for it. I tell him and friends and stuff when I tell, like, if I was the person looking into me back then, I'd be like, you're crazy. But I never believed that we were supposed to get divorced. It was just in me. No. Since we were young. We talked about getting married since I was like 16. So like the moment it happened, you know, we tried to work it out. It didn't. Long story, but I just never had it in me that we were supposed to let it go. So I was always praying, crying. And
yeah.
You know, hanging out with people because I was in depression during that time, fell into a bad depression.
And you had two good friends that you hung out with.
So Sarah and Jasmine, they used to go to Seaport, the church we used to go to before we kind of merged into Faith Fellowship. And I would spend all my time with them outside of work. I was working 6 days a week. Sundays I told my job, I can't work, I need to go to church. And I would go to work, go to the gym, go to their house and be there until Sarah's like, okay, it's time for me to go to bed.
Which, you know what? I really like that, because it is easy to become isolated or to want to isolate in a difficult situation like that. But you really had.
Yeah, that time around, I did
want
to be with someone because I felt very alone because it was just me here. I don't have family or anyone. But really, God restored it after like a year. It took a while to build trust and everything and come back together. But really after the year and a half that we decided like, okay, like we're working by ourselves, but we really need to focus on bringing God first and focusing on that. And in that, my friend earlier today after the 9 o'clock service, she said, well, before your marriage was like grape juice and now it's like wine. I'm like, yeah, it is, because it transformed. God transformation in our marriage is beyond anything that I thought, you know, was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we were young, I feel like we treated our marriage like a teenage relationship. And then after, we really had to look at each other and really have that respect and have the love for God first.
Yeah.
And the respect and love and trust that we built now, going through everything, is way beyond what I thought a relationship would look like, you know, just 4 years down the line.
And I remember Chris said something the same, just almost kind of like what that just like, I remember you said like the two of you focused on just you before, and now the difference is that you guys are focusing on God differently now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely putting God first is leaning on him, right? Because we're human, we're weak, but like it said, right? If we lean against God, anything's possible.
How about the men's retreat? I remember you mentioned like the men's retreat was like significant as far as, you know, restoring. So tell us what happened there.
Yeah. So between when we got back together in 2016 to 2019, you know, forgiveness from God has happened. Forgiveness from Jess happened, but I hadn't forgiven myself. And there's a lot of men that are here in this congregation that were there on that men's retreat. And That's when I decided to step forward and accelerate my life with God by forgiving myself, because that was really holding me back, not only on our marital relationship. There was something like that we couldn't proceed, but it also accelerated my relationship with God.
Yeah.
So you wonder what in the world I was doing out there. That's one of the things I was doing. Matter of fact, just called me when I was out there, and Chris was not home, and he was coming to get some stuff, And you don't want this happening to you. You don't want Pastor Brad in your face at 10 o'clock at night in your house. I got in his face and I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I would also meet the girlfriend and get his stuff back from her. Yeah. But that is the reason. That's the reason. And that's a tremendous story of restoration and renewal. I stayed in their home. Walked with them through this whole thing. And to see what, that was shot just last Sunday morning at Faith Fellowship. And the Lord wanted me to show that to you. Because somebody here may be in a similar scenario or online and you're watching this. God can restore you too. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you heard there were significant things that were said by Jess and by Chris in that testimony. And I hope you heard those. Aren't you grateful? So you're saying, what does Seaport do? That's what Seaport does with some of your money. It helps a young military family get back on track. And today they've got a beautiful little boy and they're serving the Lord together as a family. How can you put a price on that? You can't put a price on that. No. Thank God for that. Thank God for what he's done. Thank you for investing. You're wondering what you do. That's what happens. And so, you know, today, those, if you want to give, you can give online. You know how to do this. Text to give. You can do it at the kiosk out there. You know, you can go to the website. There's a lot of different ways to give. But you're investing in people. That's what you're doing around here. So thank you for being faithful. Amen. Thanks for being faithful. A few quick announcements, and then I want to show you, this is kind of video day around here. So it's just a few quick announcements. Number one, we're going to do Activate. I'm excited about Activate. We have rewritten it. Robert and I have reworked it. It's better than it's ever been, I think. And so we keep improving on it. So next Sunday night, be part of Activate. It'll help you to understand how God wired you up, the spiritual gifts that are in your life, and how that all comes to play. So be part of that if you haven't. That's Activate. Our youth Christmas party on the 11th, you can sign up on all this stuff right through the app or online. You can do that. The grown-up Christmas party on the 18th, this one is very limited because of COVID, so make sure that you sign up early because very limited in what we can handle there. Our kids' programs got moved to the 20th because of, again, COVID. Obviously, Christmas Eve is usually the 24th, and it is this year, too. So, Wednesday night, we continue the series, The Case for Christmas. And so that's a great thing. We're going to move now into, it's a little different today. And just before Ed comes to speak, as we continue the series, you know, The Cast of Christmas, I think I'm struggling keeping The Cast of Christmas and The Case for Christmas. But before he takes us in and talking about the angels, we want to show you this video. I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with an angel. I have. I've had a couple of them. And just weird things. But angels are very real in Scripture. And this story that you're about to see, you'll wonder, did somebody make that up? They didn't. It's true. Let's watch. And then Ed will come and speak.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Miracle. I'm Nia Peoples.
And I'm Richard Thomas. The reaction of people who've experienced a miracle in their lives seems to be universal. They're all extremely thankful.
And this feeling of gratitude is particularly appropriate during the Thanksgiving holiday. It's a time for being grateful for the many blessings that life has given us.
And it's also a time to share our good fortune with people less fortunate than ourselves.
That's what happens in our first story, when a young mother receives a very special Thanksgiving gift, only to discover that the woman who gave it to her was not everything she appeared to be.
The year was 1969. Ivy Olson, a recently divorced and struggling young mother, was moving into a modest one-bedroom apartment with her two sons. Money was tight, and Ivy had trouble making ends meet, even with her job in a doctor's office. Her situation became particularly troubling during the holidays.
One of the hardest Thanksgivings I ever have had was Thanksgiving after I was divorced. Waking up for Thanksgiving, realizing that nobody had invited us to their home, The only food we had in the home were three hot dogs, and it was an overwhelming feeling of, what have I gotten into, and how am I going to get out of this? I was down. I really felt despair.
Ivy put on a brave face for her children and took them to a local park, hoping that the boys would have a fun day, even if they couldn't have a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Coming back from our little picnic, though, I can remember the boys saying, Mom, we're so hungry. And I knew there was absolutely no money, no food, nothing. I don't think I've ever felt so alone as I did coming back, wondering, how are we going to do this? How am I going to do this?
But as she started up the stairs to her apartment, something incredible occurred.
Honey!
And this little old lady came out of the bottom apartment, and she says, oh, honey,
I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for you and the boys.
And I'm just looking at her. I'd never seen her before. It was just a complete stranger.
Oh, no, we couldn't impose.
But the woman was so insistent that they join her for dinner that Ivy couldn't refuse.
Okay. Thank you so
much. The woman's invitation was a prayer answered. Entering the apartment, Ivy felt immediately at home.
And it was all dimly lit, and the kitchen table was just loaded with food, and she was just so incredibly sweet.
See, we're gonna have to carve the turkey.
Her presence was like electricity. She had a sparkle in her eyes. There was life in her. You know how in the presence of some people you feel so absolutely comfortable? That was what she created that evening for us. Food, yes, lots of it. But for me and the loneliness that I felt, what she gave to me was unconditional love. And it was just one of the most special evenings that I have ever spent in my whole life.
As Ivy and her sons were leaving, the neighbor presented them each with a gift.
Thank you so much.
But they also left with something they desperately needed.
Food. Loads of leftovers. I mean, we have food for a week. If you can compare how I started in the morning with that total feeling of despair and loneliness and not good enough, to ending up feeling I'm okay, I'm worthwhile, I'm a good mom. It was a miracle.
The unexpected act of kindness had given her a new lease on life. But the next day, Ivy was in for an even bigger surprise. This Thanksgiving was not just a random act of kindness by a thoughtful neighbor.
I got all my containers to take them down to my new friend, and went down there and knocked on the door, and there was no answer. And I looked through the windows, and the place was absolutely dark and not one piece of furniture in there. I mean, even today, I get goosebumps when I think back on just seeing that empty, empty apartment. And it was like, whoa-oh, something's going on here.
Shocked and confused, Ivy immediately contacted the apartment manager.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
And I go, where's the little old lady that was in that apartment?
15's been vacant for 10, 12 weeks now.
And I said to him, no, you don't understand. I had dinner there last night, Thanksgiving dinner. And he gave me this weird look, like maybe I should be in an institution or a hospital.
Ivy, are you feeling okay?
And I can remember just looking at him, absolutely knowing that a miracle had happened in my life. And I just thanked him, turned around, and walked up those steps to my apartment.
I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for you and the boys.
As she returned to her home, Ivy began going over the events of the previous evening in her mind, and suddenly she realized the woman had known personal things about her that she couldn't possibly have known, like her favorite food.
Potato salad?
And the fact that she worked in a doctor's office.
Do you like your job at the doctor's office?
Yeah. How'd you know?
Well, I just know.
I often wonder why I didn't pick up at the actual dinner that this was an angel.
Well, we're gonna have some good food.
I think one of the most important things about my dinner with an angel is that out of my 57 years of living on this earth, that 1.5 hours of being loved unconditional has changed my life so drastically. Can you imagine what it would be like if us earth angels gave some of that unconditional love away? It can make a total difference.
Thank you so much.
After her dinner with an angel, Ivy made a promise that she would try to help other struggling single mothers, and she's kept that promise. Today, she lives on the island of Oahu and runs the Angel Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing assistance to needy families. It's Ivy's way of saying thank you for the miracle that her angel brought into her life.
Wow, what an amazing story. How God had used an angel to help change this woman's life. It's just really amazing. You know, the Bible speaks about entertaining of angels in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. I also had an encounter with angels earlier in my life. 1 year after my first wife had lost her life due to ovarian cancer, a year later, I was able to meet Julie, my wife today, through some mutual friends. And what had happened was that we decided to write to each other, and we wrote to each other for 3 years. Well, at the end of the 3 years, I started getting slack in my writing, and what happened was that we had agreed at that time that my commitment wasn't there, so we broke our relationship off. I had gotten to the point of where I was really getting into the disco scene back in the early 80s. And I was working so much, I got into it, that I was working as a disc jockey at a club at the Hyatt Regency down in New Orleans. And so my attention to that was pretty strong. I always looked forward to my weekends to get down and do that. And I was doing my engineering work up in Baton Rouge. So I used to drive from Baton Rouge down to New Orleans. And I came up on these railroad tracks. And what happened was there was 10 men with these large men with these overcoats and hats on, and they were stopping me from going across the railroad tracks. So in my mind, I knew that 3 miles down the road, there was a way that I can get across those railroad tracks. So I got and I drove down to that point. And don't you think, there was the same 10 men stopping me from going across those railroad tracks. I freaked out. I drove back up to Baton Rouge, got in my apartment that night, and I had a dream about Julie. And we hadn't talked to each other for 3 years. So I called her up the next day, and we discussed about plans about getting together and meeting each other. So in the course of the next 9 months, God put miraculous timed events together, ordered our steps, and we were married at the end of that year. We've been now married 38 years, and I just thank God for her. She's one of the greatest gifts besides my salvation that I have received from the Lord. I just want to take a minute right now, too, because it's her birthday today. So, happy birthday, Julie. But it was later on in my life that God really impressed on me that those 10 men were angels that he had put to change the direction of my life. No doubt about it. So, here we are. We come to this Christmas season. What part did the angels play in that first Christmas? The only thing I wanted to say is that the purpose that God has done with angels is that he's created them to be supernatural, to be able to do things that would help God to make his will happen on this earth. That's the reason that he uses angels. Some of you will see angels. Most of us will not see angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. Jesus Christ is the one to be worshipped. And I just thank you, Lord, for coming on this earth with the salvation plan. He died on the cross for our sins. And I just glorify God for what he's done. And angels are used by him to accomplish his will. So here we come back to the Christmas season. And what part did angels play in that Christmas? The first proclamation of Christmas came from heaven to earth through the voices of angels speaking to the shepherds. As a matter of fact, there was a whole host of angels. Much of the world takes a moment to pause on this holiday. Some of them don't even know why. When we look at the first proclamation of Christmas that came from heaven to earth through the voices of angels speaking to the shepherds, we are reminded of the why for this Christmas season. One angel explained that good news of great joy for all people, that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. And then we see in Luke chapter 2, it says, suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. It's important to understand that the peace that the angels proclaimed was not a proclamation of world peace or a declaration of strife and war. It's actually much bigger than that. Though through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been removed. Now we can have relationships and peace with God. That peace on earth that Jesus brings is the peace that comes from faith in Jesus and his forgiveness that follows. The angels declared that this peace belongs to those whom heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you reveal them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. The Lord's favor rests on those who receive the truth and the forgiveness of Jesus. As a result, they pass this truth along to others. Let me just say that again. For this is what God is pleased to do. The Lord's favor rests on those who receive the truth and forgiveness of Jesus. As a result, they pass that truth along to others. So passing the peace. Because Jesus brought us peace with God, one of the greatest responses that we can have to the amazing news is to become peace proclaimers in all of our Christmas traditions, preparations, and celebrations. The truth is, most families experience relationship pressure and difficulties during this Christmas season. Nearly every family gathering has at least one relative who requires extra grace. If you don't know who that is, it's probably you. Christmas actually brings more strife and conflict rather than true peace. As the ones who have received peace with God through Jesus, we have a special opportunity to proclaim peace in our families in a similar way to how angels proclaim peace to us. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, Jesus tells us that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. This passage shows us that those who count themselves to be children of God join him in the work of proclaiming his peace and making peace with others. Peacemaking is not the same as peacekeeping. When Jesus brought us peace with God, he brought us back into unity and harmony with God. Jesus didn't tolerate us. He restored us. He didn't make a way to endure being with us. He made a way to be near to us and develop a love relationship with us. You know, the United Nations explains what they do in peacekeeping operations. Our peacekeepers help prevent conflict to reduce human suffering, build stable and prosperous societies. We all hope that they're moving towards peacemaking, but peacekeeping is just preventing people from acting out in the hate that's in their hearts. It tries to prevent conflict and keeps people from destroying each other. Peacemaking goes much deeper. Peacemaking is what God did for us through the sending of Jesus. Peacemaking restores relationships. It brings harmony. It goes beyond just avoiding and separating conflict and brings restoration, relationship, unity. Jesus made lasting and restorative peace between us and God. Aren't you glad that the angels didn't proclaim and on earth tolerance to those whom he decided to endure? Aren't you glad that the angels didn't proclaim and on earth God puts up with those whom his favor rests? Instead, he brought true peace with God. For many of us, the Christmas season is a reminder of the lack of peace that we have in our families and our lives. Many of us have conflicts with parents, children, brothers, sisters, where we just want to survive the holidays without the same old fight and the antics. Many of us are struggling to keep it together and try to cling to whatever peace that we can hold on to in our own hearts until it's over. Here is the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacekeeping tries to appease, patch together, and keep everyone satisfied or just quietly disgruntled. Peacemaking, however, deals with the underlying issues and brings healing and restoration. That's what God's Son did for us. What better way to proclaim and demonstrate what he's done than to do the same in our families? A deeper peace. One of the dangers of this season is getting so caught up in our traditions and so wrapped up in trying to make the perfect holiday that we forget our real mission. In James chapter 3, it reminds us, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, it's submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." This season, we should be more concerned, not less concerned, with proclaiming the peace of Jesus. We should be centered on living out the gospel with our friends and our family. We will make connections and have conversations with people that only come around during this season. Now is the time to pray for wisdom in these connections. Now is the time to consider how we can proclaim Christ through what we say and how we act. Now is the time to be wise, as James describes it, to be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. I'm going to do a fasten your seatbelt moment right now. When we get these connections and these opportunities, and it might even be in your home with your wife and your children, or you might have a few families over, or you might have your brothers and sisters come over together, which is kind of hard right now in this area, but when it happens, especially in your own family, if people are sick in your family, I'm telling you, the husband, you need to step up. The man in the house needs to step up to be the priest of the home. Just don't sit there and see your wife struggling with a sickness at a time or your children. You need to step up and pray for healing. You need to pray for restoration in that family. And I'm telling you, with the peace that you have in your heart at that time, God is going to show up at that time. When you have your heart aligned correctly with God, that's when God's going to show up and perform the supernatural in your life. So be bold, even when you go out on the street and you see, go pray for people. You're going to see more power than you probably might even see here in the front of this church if you're out on the street praying for people and you step out and you have your peace with God, God is going to perform those miracles in your life. So I encourage you to do that. This season, I'm praying that God will give me the wisdom of heaven as I interact with the friends and family. I'm praying that God will show me how to best proclaim the good news of Jesus by showing me when I should speak and what I should and when I should let things go. I have learned just because you're right doesn't mean that you're righteous. Sometimes we need to say the hard thing. Sometimes the loving thing is to stand up for what is true. Other times the righteous thing is to lay down our need to be right. The loving thing is to avoid taking the bait and getting distracted from the real mission of proclaiming Jesus and sharing the love of God with everyone and anyone who's ready and willing to receive it. That's why a peace proclaimer needs the wisdom from heaven. I'm praying that this year you can proclaim his peace to your family and friends like you've never done before. Sometimes people want understanding and help. Sometimes they just want to hide from an argument. I pray that God will give us the wisdom and the discernment to see the difference and not take the bait. If you typically have relationship struggles during the season, remember that most people aren't just annoying, opinionated, and cruel. Despite how he acts, even your cousin Eddie was made in God's image. Remember that people become annoying. They become rude, opinionated, and angry because of what the world throws at them and what they choose and how they choose to respond to it. The one thing that we all share is brokenness. The one thing that we all need is grace. A peacemaker who is working to proclaim Jesus will try to get beyond the rough exterior. A peacemaker will show mercy, remembering that even more than our opinions, everyone ultimately needs Jesus. I've never yet argued a person into a relationship with the Lord. I've loved a person into a relationship with the Lord. Certainly, love is tough, but sometimes love is quiet and just listens. In the midst of all of the traditions and celebrations this Christmas, don't forget how precious people are to God. Even the most belligerent, difficult, and draining people are precious to God, so much so that Jesus came to earth so they could also have peace with God. So being peaceful. Before you proclaim peace, you first need to possess it. No one expects you to be perfect. However, it's difficult to proclaim the message of God's peace when we're stressed out, we're overwhelmed, and exhausted. Our proclamation must first begin with us accepting and embracing the peace that we have in God. What a rare individual it is who knows what it's like to be fully accepted for who they are, just as they are. Yet that's our very condition simply because of Jesus Christ. God's favor now rests on us. In order to walk and remain in the peace that Jesus brings, we need to be disciplined in where we allow our minds to go, the things that we allow ourselves to think about. Think about what you think about. Let me just say that. Think about what you think about. Scripture tells us that do no less than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, charges. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. God's favor rests on us. During my whole career, I've always had a strong attribute to be able to be a peacemaker when I was leading large teams of nuclear workers. Sometimes I've had up to 3,000 people working for me. But I always had one philosophy. If I saw a conflict on a job, I always knew that I had to go out and get that resolved within 24 hours. And I would work. That was my goal to doing that. And many times it took private interviews, but I went out of my way to try to make that happen. God would give me the wisdom at that time to deal, because you could hear some strange stories, but God would give me the wisdom to resolve the conflict. And I was always noted for that in my performance reviews, to where I was able to get some significant bonuses and increases. And it's all because God's favor rested on me. My dad taught me as a young kid, and I watched him do it in my whole life. But he also, any conflict that we had in his marriage, he never would let the son go down on his anger or frustration with his wife. I watched my parents resolve things, and he always made sure that they got it resolved before they went to bed at night. And their marriage went on for 60 years. And I've taken that attribute, and I use that in my life, and I always make sure that I try to get resolved and get over it and move on. That's the philosophy I have in my mind. All right, let's get over it, and let's move on. So I just encourage you during this Christmas season to be able to become a true peacemaker, both in your family. We all know that you can't make anyone change. You can't make anyone do much of anything, really. But you can proclaim peace. How far are you willing to go share the peace that you have in Jesus with the people that you know, the people that you interface with on a daily basis? Are you willing to take the first step? Are you willing to take this stand for Christmas, for peacemaking, for this year? Jesus came and he died on the cross to make peace with us. The angels came to this earth to proclaim the news of peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. In Luke chapter 2, it says, in the midst of all of our traditions and celebrations, will we put in the same effort? Will our lives make the same proclamation? Will you offer the joy of the Lord through this season and proclaim God's hope to your friends and your family? This season is more difficult than any that we've ever experienced. We need God's wisdom to proclaim his hope and his joy. Will you please stand with me right now? And if you're at home on the internet, just stand up in your living room or wherever you're at and just stand up. And I'd like to just pray right now. So, Lord, I just pray that and thank you that you sent your son to this earth, that you had a plan to save our lives, and you came as a human being, as a baby in a manger, Lord. And I just thank you for dying on the cross, and you rose from the dead, and you completed your mission on this earth. We just thank you so much for what you've done, Lord. And I just thank you that your peace can increase in us, and I pray right now that you pour your peace out amongst all your people here at Seaport, in the sanctuary and online, Lord. Just openly open the heavens, Lord, and just pour your peace out amongst us. Just remove any fear right now, Lord. I pray that fear would leave. Fear is from Satan, and I just pray it be gone in the name of Jesus and that we receive your peace. I pray that everyone in this room would learn to put their shoes of peace on as we put our armor of God on, Lord. I just pray that the shoes of peace, that we would walk in that, Lord. I also pray, Lord, that you would increase in us the ability and receive the wisdom from heaven to resolve conflicts and to be true peacemakers in this time of Christmas this year. Make it significant, Lord, in Jesus' name. I also want to pray that, like with me, when I encountered those angels, God put them in change the direction of my life. So my heart has been with the sons and daughters of this church that have grown up in the Word and have gone on in the prodigals from Seaport. And I pray in this Christmas season that we just look to you, Lord, right now. And I pray as they make the connections with the families that you give us the wisdom and the words to speak to them to re-excite their heart for you, Lord, that you would we release your passion and your hunger into them as you meet for dinner or whatever you guys are doing and you speak the right words. I pray, Lord, that those words would be released and that we would see your sons and daughters come back and to be able to serve you. I pray that you would even put angels in their path like you did for me, Lord, and you changed my direction. So I am proclaiming to all the prodigals of Seaport right now, Lord, that I am asking you, Lord, to change the direction of their lives right now in this Christmas season. And we pray that, and we give you the glory in advance, Lord, because I know when we ask, you answer, and I thank you very much for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Close. In just a moment, I'll tell you how to connect with us and all this missions we've been doing now for months, but I need to say this to you. I believe this is some time ago, probably a couple of months ago now. I've only shared this with a couple of people. I believe this is of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and kind of caught me off guard, and he said, there was coming a great revival to the world. and the devil sent the virus to shut it down. I was like, what? That was not anything I had thought about. It was nothing in my mind. I believe this of the Lord. Obviously, I could be wrong. But you say, what is the point? The point is this. We need to continue to pray that the Spirit of God is free to bring the revival that he still intends to bring to this planet. Amen? So when we sing that song up there, it's more than just a nice song. It is a heart cry for God to move by the power of his Spirit across the world. Amen? If masks can move across the world, the Spirit of God can. So let's pray right now, just before we close, that there would be, that God would bring a revival that would impact, especially North America, which is spiritually the deadest place on the planet and around the world. Father God, we don't want to just sing it. We want to pray it, and we want to believe it, and we want to let our light shine, and we want to be peacemakers, and we want to do the things that we can do to see the revival that you intend to bring still come. We are trusting you for this, Father God. We don't want, God, what the devil meant for evil, God, to derail what you intend to do, which is mighty and amazing. And we trust you for the accomplishment of that. Thank you, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. Believe that. Trust God for it. Hallelujah. If you want to connect with us, you know how to do that with welcome. If you're committing your life to Christ for the very first time, text the word new life, just one word to the number, and that's a good way to connect with us. And if you got a prayer request, you can do it that way too. So those are great ways, simple ways to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that are 65 and above, or you've got a compromised immune system, feel free to go. God bless you as you go. Hallelujah. I bless you. You guys just continue to play Angels Cry. Just do that as I just quietly dismiss everybody. Angels Cry. Sing that for us. Hallelujah. Don't forget to pick up your kids on the way. Those of you in these two center sections, you guys can go. Lead us in that song, Angels Cry. I love that song. Those of you on the sides, you can slip out now. God bless you. Thanks for joining us online today.